Meetings. Let's go over to, oh, could you say hello, Tuskegee? All right. Let's go over to Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Ushers do have some Bibles, and they could loan you one while you're here. Mark chapter 10. Again, thank you all for coming out today. I know it was a tough day today. We had, I guess, some of the icy roads or whatever. I don't know what they're talking about. But faith can overcome any kind of situation. And you're people of faith. Say amen to that. And so forth. I know it's about 17 degrees, 16, 15 degrees outside. But that doesn't make any difference to people like you. And I'm so glad of that. I'm glad I'm not the only one here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, good. Okay, Mark chapter 10. I'll start reading in verse 17. And when he was gone forth and away, there came one running to him and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why call me good? There's none good but one, that's God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said to him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He said to him, "One thing you lack, go your way, sell what you have, and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying. He went away grieved, for he had great, what? Possessions. Now, he really didn't have possessions. What was the situation? Possessions had him. Hold on, I just got a revelation of ooh-wee. Okay. Okay, good. Revelation. And the revelation is the possessions had him. Now, in this, this giving to the poor, this man say he knew all the scriptures. But obviously, he didn't really know them. Because if you say you know and you don't do, you don't know. Okay? All right, so let's look at this. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19. And look here where it says in verse 17. "He that has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. He that has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again." So, I have a translation here. It says, that when you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and he pays wonderful interest on your loan. That's what he said about that. Now, here's the deal. The deal is that when you help the poor, the Bible says you loan to the Lord. And whatever you loan to the Lord, he'll give it back to you. Right. Well, if this man knew so much about scripture, why didn't he give it? Well, why don't people give who've read the scripture, "Give and it shall be given unto you"? Somehow we read it and we've got a head knowledge, but it's not in our hearts yet. And so as I look at this, this whole idea about giving to the poor, there are some other advantages of giving to the poor, just in case you didn't know this. And you can go back to Psalm chapter 41. In Psalm chapter 41, he said in verse 1, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble." Boy, how many of y'all been in trouble before? You in trouble right now, huh? Okay. "But the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed," or he or she, "upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemies." Wow. Now, all this comes from giving to the poor. Look at the next verse. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. So giving to the poor, when a person does get sick, laying in a bed, God will raise him up. Amen. It's from giving to the poor. So I'm saying there are some real advantages as far as giving to the poor. But let's go a step further. Over in Mark chapter 12, let's just look and see what happened there. We're talking about giving to the poor. Over in Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury. And those, let me move some of these papers here. I'll just all this stuff, get on my notes. And those that were rich, cast money into the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Man, you know, Jesus must have been preaching something for rich folk to cast in much. Man. And there came a certain poor widow, and they took up an offering for her. That's not what it says, is it? Come on, shout me down. That's not what it says. It says, she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called to him, his disciples, he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Wow. And a tendency is to think that sometimes when people are poor, that you want to give to them. In other words, you want to make sure that their needs are taken care of as a poor person. And that is true. But people who are sitting under the gospel, now they can hear it. Now we can give, hear people in different countries and give for the gospel to go out, and people don't know about Jesus and haven't ever heard these things before. People starving in lands that are in famine, so forth. I understand that. But I'm talking about people who come in here, people who come in Jesus' meeting and hear the word. He never took up an offering for them. He preached the gospel to the poor, and he expected them to give. And the reason why is because giving is the way out of poverty. Giving is the way out of poverty. Now, you know and I know, people are being taught that certain people are too poor to give. Turn with me over to 2 Corinthians. In chapter 8, with your smart self. I'm confessing some faith thing, but 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty, underline deep poverty, abounded into the riches of their liberality. Now this church was really poor. And because of it, the people who were preaching to them didn't want to take an offering. Wrong. Wrong. The offering was their way out. I've been there before. I've been to Haiti. In our first trip to Haiti, God said, I want you to receive an offering from the people. We went to one of the churches to preach, folks poor and so forth, wanted to preach. And I preached, he said, now take up an offering. Told me to preach on giving and sowing and reaping, and I did. He said, now take up an offering. I you got to have faith to take an offering. But I took up an offering. They put little pennies and so forth things that they had because they heard this thing and they put it in there. The tendency is in deep poverty, don't take an offering. Wrong. Wrong. Now I'm giving to the poor. We give to the poor. But I'm talking about the gospel. See, we didn't come here to finance poverty. We came to eradicate it. And to eradicate it, you got to get the people in a place where they don't look to you to do their fishing. They can do their fishing themselves. This man told me he went to an Indian reservation and preached. And in that Indian reservation, knowing the thing about some of the reservations, at least years ago, it was just a place of poverty because they kind of took away the dignity of some people, put them on these reservations and so forth. And now they run in casinos now, but put them on reservations. And the result of that is poverty. Now, I've been there before in Minnesota, and I saw them, and a lot of them were alcoholics and so forth because that government said, let me take care of you. And the government wasn't made to take care of anybody. And so what happened was they got on that system, and next thing, so they were in deep poverty. So this man went to preach. Prophet of God. So as he preached and so forth, God said, I want you to preach on prosperity, preach on sowing and reaping, and receive an offering. And receive an offering. Now, they didn't have any money. But at home, they had, at their houses, they had some rocks and stuff that they had painted and things that they have of, they call of value. So they went and got these rocks. I preached at a place one time in either it was in Africa or it was in the backwoods down in Central America. And they went home and got some stuff. Got some dresses, all kinds of stuff. Now, wait a minute. They brought it back and gave it as an offering. Now, he had to take it because that's what the man of God had to do. But he took it, and when he took it, said he came back the next year. And the same people were driving SUVs, Mercedes, and all kinds of stuff. Now, let's go to one more. 2 Kings chapter 17. And look at this one. Starting at verse 8. He said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to take care of you. Now understand, right there you're going to take some faith. Because widow women at that time were like the last on the totem pole. I mean, they were at the end of the breadline, okay? Because they had nobody to fight for them, so forth and so on. Remember in the book of Acts, he talked about the widows and so forth. You've not administered to them and so forth. That was a issue that they had in the book of Acts. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there, and she was gathering of six. And he called her, and he said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going, fetch it. He called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil at a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, fear not. Say, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it to me. And after that, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of your meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah, she and he and her house did eat. How many days? Many days. Now notice, off of that last meal of this poor woman, she ate above all the other people. Now, I want you to see something, because in Mark chapter 12, it never told us what happened to the woman. I bet you if you check the records and her genealogy and come on down today, is her family probably owned some oil wells over there in Arabia. Folks, because the word won't return void. I'm here to tell you right now that the way out is through giving. Amen. And look what he says. Now, we said we all believe for $1,000 in this envelope. Didn't we say that?
Yes.
Now, notice what I'm doing here. I'm getting your faith up to the fact, to the place where you can use your faith. Now, I wrote something down here because there's a reason why we want to develop your faith. Until you learn how to receive from God, you will always be under the pressure of the world. That's a tweet. Until you learn how to receive from God, you'll always be under the pressure of the world. And what I'm doing with this $1,000 is teaching you how to receive from who? God. God. Now, I'm not talking about when the flood comes and now you're trying to learn how to receive. I'm saying learn how to receive from him now. So when the flood comes, you won't be trying to mix some cement. It's hard to pull concrete when the flood's on, but you know, you need to get it together now.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
And I'm saying you learn how to believe God for $1,000, you'll see that same faith can be used to learn how to get God to heal your body. That same faith can get God to heal your marriage. That same faith can get God, the power of God into your children, so that so forth and so on. Same faith. God never intended for you to struggle in this life.
Amen.
He intended for your faith to do the work.
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Some of y'all need a good vacation.
Yes.
Yes.
Raise your hand if you need a good vacation. Well, use your faith and get one. Now give God praise for it. Praise God. Amen. Come on, give God some praise, because we walk it by faith and not by sight. All right, praise God. Amen. All right.